Psalms 34.
Pastor Asquith, people, Black Creek Baptist Church, I just want to say that I appreciate you. I love you. I don't care what everybody says about you. And I mean everybody. But I tell you what, Brother Asquith has been a blessing to me. You people have been a blessing to me. And I want to say thank you for the meals that have been prepared and everything this week. It's been real gracious of you people. And all the other things that you've done and prepared for the meeting that we had this week. I pray that God would bless you richly for it. And to be honest with you, I'm probably one of the most backwards people that I know. I know a lot of people act like they're really shy. I don't know anybody quite as backwards as me. Me and my grandma was talking about it. I remember when I was in school, I would do all the work and everything, and I would just take a big F on my grade because I wouldn't do the presentation. But there's a lot of reasons for that. I remember when I was about 18 years old, I was still in school. We'd have to set up church in a community center. And we'd usually do that on a Saturday night, and we'd go in there and pray and whatever else. And one day we were going to have a meal on Sunday, so we went in the night before and we took in a bunch of drinks and a bunch of other stuff. We were going to put it in the refrigerator, but they were having this get-together of some sort inside the community center. And so we waited out there for about an hour, and finally we had enough of it. We said, you know what, we're going to humiliate ourselves and go in there and just go put the stuff in the refrigerator. If we have to explain ourselves, we will. I got in there and I just started talking to the people, and I said, we have church in here on Sunday and we're going to be in here tomorrow. We want to bring some of this food in here because we're going to have a meal. And everybody just stared at me. And I just kept talking and talking and talking for about 3 or 4 minutes. And finally, this person came up to me and said, we're deaf. They couldn't understand a word I said. I said, what's the use? I'm just going to be backwards and crazy. And whatever happens, happens. I want to look in Psalms 34. Oh, I've got a lot of stories like that. A lot of stories. Psalms 34, verse 1. The Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him from all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And I just want to talk about that verse, O taste and see that the Lord is good. I've been looking in the book of 2 Chronicles here recently, and I noticed King Ahaz, something very interesting about him, that he never lived for God a day in his life. But yet, whenever he looked upon all the other nations of the world, and all the nations that destroyed their armies, the armies of Israel, Judah and Jerusalem, the armies that came in and basically would take captive prisoners of Judah and Jerusalem, he looked upon their armies and he said that their gods must be doing something for them, because look how powerful they are. Look at all the things going on in their armies. Look at all the things going on in their nations. And he turned his heart towards their gods, the gods of the Assyrians. Let me say, there's a lot of young people that look upon the world today. And they look and say, look what I've been through, going through Christianity. They live in a home without really the presence of God in their lives. They live in a home where mom and dad don't really know God. And they say, well, what has Christianity benefited me in? And so they look upon the world. And I remember I was on a boat going through the intercoastal waterways down at the coast one day. And I began to look at all the million-dollar houses, and I began to think how nice it would be to have something like that. But then I began to think about how those people had not the God of Israel. They didn't know God. They had no hope in this world. And but yet I begin to look at that, and I've heard young men come up and say things like, look at how well their lives are. But yet they didn't, and yet they don't know God. They don't go to church. They don't do all these things. Ladies and gentlemen, young men that are bitter, let me say there is something different about the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something different about a home full of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's something different about a church that has the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's kind of what I want to talk about. We've talked about the absence of God in our nation quite a bit this week. And I kind of want to go back through the pages of time and look at some of those things where people in times past knew God, where people today know God. And instances in my life and stories that I've heard that have made me want God and made me thirsty for the things of God. And let me say this, there is a benefit to this, the wickedness of this world. There is a benefit that they receive. In Job 21, 7 through 16, I want to read it to you. Job chapter 21. Job was a man of God, and everything was taken from him. There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them and presented himself before the Lord. And Satan said, he's going from to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it. What was he doing? Seeking whom he may devour. That's what the devil does. He seeks whom he may devour. And whenever God turned Job and his family over, Satan took Job's children. Satan took Job's possessions. And Satan got in Job's wife and said, why don't you curse God and die? And he said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh. Blessed is the holy name of God. Let me say, Job had the glory of God living on the inside. And but anyways, Job chapter 21, verse 7, the Bible says this, that wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, they are mighty in power, their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull gendereth and faileth not, their cow calveth and casteth not her calf. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and the harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? Lo, their good is not in their hand, and the counsel of the wicked is far from me. Let me say this. Then it says this. I'll read this verse. How oft is the candle of the wicked put out? And how oft cometh their destruction upon them? And God distributeth sorrow in his anger. Ladies and gentlemen, we look out across the world and it seems like everything might be going in people's lives. But there will come a day when God of wrath, the God of vengeance, the God that will take out his wrath upon people. The Bible said, vengeance, wrath, tribulation, and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. One of these days, the Bible said, everything is going right in their life. Everything seems to be all together. But in a moment, they go down into the grave and they are destroyed for all of eternity. And let me say this, that is the way of wicked men. Why? Because their benefit is temporary. Their benefit is temporary. Not only that, but wicked men have power over other men, and they afflict people that are vulnerable. And ladies and gentlemen, there's people that will take advantage of Christians because they're wicked in their heart, and they know that they can get by with it because a Christian is meek. A Christian is meek. That means that you don't defend yourself. Not only that, the wicked live according to the lust of their own hearts. And I want to read what that is in the book of Matthew chapter 15. They live according to the lust of their own hearts. Matthew chapter 15. I've heard people say all my life, that is a tender-hearted young man. He's got a good heart. No, he doesn't. She's got a good heart. No, she doesn't. They don't have a good heart. The Bible said that the heart is deceitful and wicked above all else. Who can know it? That's the heart of man. We like to deceive ourselves and think that there's some kind of good in our hearts. But I've realized in my life, even whenever I would do good, sometimes my intentions are wrong. Sometimes my intentions are wrong. But I want to look at this verse. It says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 19. Out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. That's what's in the heart of man. And I remember Brother Asquith preaching on Last time I was here, you taught Sunday school. You taught on, it isn't what goes into the man that defiles the man. It's what comes out of him. You know what comes out of you? Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Evil thoughts. We like to blame a lot of things on the devil that aren't him. Our hearts are so vile and ungodly that it produces evil thoughts. Murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. That's what comes from the heart of men. Ladies and gentlemen, the wicked live according to the lust of their own hearts. And ladies and gentlemen, that they said in the book of Job, chapter 34, 8 through 9, they say that there is no profit in serving God. And they are destroyed suddenly. Like Nebuchadnezzar had his mind taken from him, he was taken. And God likened him unto a tree that was cut down. And he cut down to the dust of the earth. Like Pharaoh that hardened his heart against the children of Israel and against God. He would not let him leave out of Canaan's land, was suddenly destroyed. Like Belshazzar that took the holy things of God. And he was partying and laughing in a time when he should have been fasting. He was feasting in an hour when he should have been fasting before a holy God. And he was suddenly destroyed. And they say, what profit is there with God? And I just want to go through, what is their profit with the Lord Jesus Christ? And ladies and gentlemen, you look through the Old Testament, they took the tabernacle and it was skin that covered the tabernacle of God. But inside that ram skin was the glory of God. Inside the ram skin was the glory of God. And ladies and gentlemen, I say that there's a treasure in earthen vessels. There's a treasure in earthen vessels, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Holy Ghost. I believe whenever you get born again, you get all of God. I believe you get all of Him and He gets all of you. There's a treasure in earthen vessels. I believe whenever you get born again, you have eternal life. Jesus Christ is eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life, but he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have anything. And I believe that Jesus Christ is faith. I believe Jesus Christ is assurance. I believe that Jesus Christ is hope. I believe that Jesus Christ is joy. I believe that Jesus Christ is peace. Whenever you get Jesus Christ, you get all those things, my friend. I've heard all my life preachers preach on the Spirit-filled life, and they preach that the fruit of the Spirit is what you get whenever you begin to live in the Spirit-filled life. But I believe with all my heart, when you get born again, that you get the Spirit of God, you get faith, you get meekness, you get temperance, you get long-suffering, you get the love of God, you get peace, you get all those things whenever you get born again. I believe that, and I thank God for that. And I believe whenever you get born again, what benefit is there with Him? That all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. And ladies and gentlemen, all things will work together for good. I believe whenever you get born again, a benefit is that you get to praise God. You say, what does it mean to praise God? People say, well, you do it in your own way, that I can just sit back very quietly and praise God. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe everybody has their own personality and they do things maybe a little bit different than others, but I don't believe that you can praise God quietly. I don't believe that. You say, well, where do you get that in the Bible? Because praise is with the fruit of your lips. It's something that comes out of your mouth. It comes from your heart. It comes out of your mouth. When David praised God, ladies and gentlemen, he danced in the streets. He began to testify of the works of God Almighty in his life and began to brag on Him and to boast about Him. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that praise is something that we should do on a day-to-day basis. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that there is a benefit in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. As I was reading not too long ago of the testimony of a Methodist preacher. There used to be a time when Methodist preachers would preach the Word of God. This Methodist preacher, before he got saved, he remembers what it was like to be a child. And his mother and father being under conviction and getting saved. And he said, I didn't know a lot about it, but I just remember there being a great change in our house. There was a preacher, a prayer warrior really, that lived next door to him all of his life. And he said, I remember just laying in my bed and I could hear the man that lived next door praying for God to send revival in England. And that man, he said, I could hear his voice quivering in the house as he would pray till the late hours of the night. And then he would get up early in the morning and he would pray and he would pray and he would pray. And I would lay there in my bed and I could hear the prayers of that man praying for the souls of men. And then he remembered that after he'd get done praying, he'd get all of his family together and he could hear the house next door to him. They begin to sing the praises of God. He would pray and they'd begin to sing and they'd begin to testify of what God's done to them in their little old house over there in England. Well, he went on some years and that revival began to come to fruition. That man had been, there was three men that were praying for a revival to hit their little town there over there in England. He said that he remembered that he got a job. He was in school and all these things and he got a job working out on a little farm. And he was doing work inside of the barn. And he can remember when that revival was going on. He would go to the services and God began to deal with his heart. He began to be troubled over his sin. Let me say this. That is what the message used to be. That you could come to Jesus Christ and get your sin taken care of. Nowadays that they preach that you can have eternity in heaven. You can have eternity in heaven. There used to be a time when people had a knowledge of their sin. And that they could go to Jesus Christ to get their sins washed away. We sung that song this week. He took my sins away. He took my sins away. And he keeps me singing every day. Ladies and gentlemen, that used to be the benefit of the Lord Jesus Christ. That he could take your sins and give you joy on the inside. And ladies and gentlemen, he remembers sitting in that church and then he would go to his little barn and he would sit there and weep as he would be working and he would get his Bible during break times and he'd sit there and read it. This is in the early 1800s. He'd get his Bible and he'd sit there and read it and read. And he remembered getting to a verse of scripture, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. And he said, I realized for the first time in my life, I didn't believe that if I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I could be saved. He said, I began to weep and I said, God, would you let me believe? Would you let me believe? He said, I began to set my heart on believing and I began to pray. And I began to pray and say, God, would you let me believe? And he said, in a moment, the Holy Ghost swept through that little barn. He said, and I got born again and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and I knew I was saved. He said, I went outside of that little barn. He said, I began to shout and praise God. He said, I began to tell people what Jesus did for me and how I had the Holy Ghost. He said, in a moment, I was born again. He began to preach. He said he remembered whenever he just started preaching, there was a man on that same farm that got born again in the same revival that he was in. And he said that he would go talk to that man. And he went to him one day and he said, sir, he was an older man. He said, sir, what does Jesus Christ do for you? What does Jesus Christ benefit you? He said, I say that Jesus benefits me whenever I go to work. He said, well, how does he benefit you when you go to work, sir? He said, well, every morning I get my Bible and I lay it out here where I'm working. And I begin to read the Word of God. And the Holy Ghost sweeps through this little barn. And his job was to sweep out the barn and all the things that were in it. He said, and whenever that happens, I'll just get that broom in my hand and I'll begin to sweep and sweep and sweep full of God. And I'll get the job done about four times faster full of God. So he said, amen. Full of the power of God on his life. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about having the glory of God in your life. Having the glory of God in your life. Not only that, I have the biography of Dr. Percy Ray. His name's been mentioned a couple of times. He got saved. He was already a preacher. You wonder why he was so gracious to preachers. He was a preacher before he got saved. And He realized that he didn't have something that he knew about, and he told the deacons and the people in his church, well, if I can't know about it, I don't want it. And he began to live a rebellious life. And his professor at the college that he was at looked at him one day, and he began to tell them about men that used to go to Bible college that called themselves preachers that at that moment in time were just atheists and rebels and reprobates. And just infidels against Jesus Christ. And Percy Ray realized that was him. And it just smote his heart. And there was a young man that got a burden for him and prayed for him. But anyways, he remembers the first time that he had a great revival, a great meeting. That he was in a place called Hornsby, Tennessee. And he had been in a couple of meetings where people prayed and got a hold of God and some things happened. So he decided that in Hornsby, Tennessee, he was going to preach and they were going to really get a hold of God and pray, and there was a move of God. Well, there was a man that came that was an infidel and said, "I don't believe any of it, but you preach the truth. I want you to come to my town. I'm going to open up my old mill and I want you to come in and I want you to preach in it." And he had a great big mill and they cleared everything out of the mill and whatnot. And Percy Ray got a few people that couldn't read or write, but they could pray and get a hold of God. They would go inside that mill and people were praying all day and all night. Around the clock, some people were praying for days without stopping. And on Friday, they all got together and they prayed all day long. And at that nighttime, he said it was like whenever they marched around the walls of Jericho and the walls came tumbling down, the Spirit of God blew through there and people began to get saved. He said whenever that happened, there was such a move of God that he didn't calculate how long it was, but he didn't sleep for about 62 hours dealing with people. And there was people that were coming from up the road that wasn't in the meetings, that were under conviction. He said there were some ladies that ended up coming to the meeting that were in a field in the next town about 20 miles away, that all four of them were in the field. And one lady looked at another lady and said, "I have such a burden. I don't know what it is." And another lady said, "I'm lost and I'm going to hell and I don't know what to do about it." And they wasn't in the revival meeting. They wasn't in the church meeting. They didn't even know the first thing about it. And they said, "I'm going to hell and I don't know what to do about it." And another lady said, "I'm lost too." And there was four women in that field that determined they were lost. And they began to seek God and pray in that field that day. And all four of them got saved. And they found themselves on their way to that meeting. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the power of God. I'm talking about the presence of God. These things are almost myths in our churches. But I can remember being a little boy and the power of God moving in church services and people from coming up the road, 5 miles down the road, busting through the back doors while the preaching was going on, saying, "Preacher, I'm going to hell. I need to be saved." I can remember those things as a little boy. I can remember my dad preaching down there in Mississippi, and the drunks of the town, people that thought that there was no hope for, began to be born again. People began to come to our church because they were invited to come just to intimidate my dad and possibly beat him up in a fight. I remember there was one man, his name was Dirk. They hired him. He was probably about 6'6" or so. He was a big old boy, about 300 pounds, had big old long hair. My dad got right in his face and said, "Let me tell you something, sir. If you don't get born again, you're going to burn in hell when you die." Man got saved. He got born again. Let me tell you something. That's the presence of God. Presence of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I remember reading the story about a man in World War II that grew up in a godly home. And he was taken captive, but the moment that he was taken captive by a German soldier, the German put that metal rifle barrel up on his neck and said in German, "Don't move." I couldn't tell you how to say that. He said, "Don't move, don't move," in German. And he said, in a moment, I could remember my mom standing in the kitchen singing, "There is a name to me so dear, like sweetest music to my ear. For when my heart is troubled, filled with fear, Jesus whispers peace." He remembered the glory of God flooding his soul with a rifle barrel up to his neck. Grew up in a godly home. What are you talking about? I'm talking about having something in your home that'll go with you on the battlefields, that'll go out with your children in the world, that'll go with you to the schoolhouses, that'll go with you to your places of business and make a difference. The presence of God and the glory of God. My dad, me and him were talking about driving down the road not too long ago, a man in the church, they called him Doc, and Dad, remember Dad Smith? My grandma went to church with them. They didn't have nothing. They lived in a rinky-dink little old shack out on the bottoms near the Yakin River. And their house was just old, rough-cut lumber on the outside, and they cooked on a wood stove. So you could imagine in the summertime, it was about 100 and some degrees in their house. That's what they cooked on. They didn't have anything, but my dad would always want to go home with them as a boy. He said he remembered going home with him. Doc, he would take my dad out to the bottoms, and he'd say, "Son, maybe if we ride out here, we might see us a little rabbit or something, or a deer. We might see a little squirrel or something." And he'd get to a certain spot and he'd say, "Now, David, this is where I meet with God every morning. This is where the glory of God floods my soul. And this is where I pray. This is where I get a hold of God." My dad said he can remember that old man. He would be in the church and the preacher would begin preaching, or they'd sing a song, and he didn't care what anybody thought. I'm going to demonstrate what he'd do. He'd look plumb goofy. He'd start praising God, and he'd get to moving like that. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he'd go for every person in the church and shake their hand and say, "I love you. I pray for you. I love you. Hallelujah." What are you talking about? I'm talking about having the glory of God in your soul. The presence of God in your life. Doc, I mentioned him. He'd get full of God. The preacher would preach, and he'd be so full of God after the church service was over. I know some of y'all, it might bother you, but there was a time in North Carolina about everybody chewed tobacco. He'd take his chew of tobacco, wad of tobacco out of his mouth and put it on the window. And he'd get out there in the parking lot, and he'd say, "Let me tell you what the Bible says." And he'd go through and he'd rattle on about how ungodly fornication was, and then he'd say, "And let me tell you something else." And he'd go on preaching for a couple of minutes how it was ungodly for women to run around in their blue jean pants. And he'd say, "Let me tell you something else, people." And he'd begin to preach about the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you talking about? I'm talking about having the glory of God flood your soul. Having the glory of God flood your soul. I remember there was a man that I became acquainted with, that he lived up on Brown Mountain near Mount Airy, North Carolina. And we'd go, me and my dad, fortunately, were able to go work up literally across the street from his house. And we'd stop by in there every now and then. But I can remember that old man, he grew up in a godly home, and there was a time when he literally fell off a tractor and got ran over and was paralyzed. His mother stretched herself over his body after a couple weeks. The doctor said he's probably going to die. His mother stretched her body over his little old body and said, "God, would you heal my son?" And in a moment, he was healed. I'm not just making it up. It's a true story. True story. And the evangelist would come to town. And she would always want those evangelist shirts, and she would clean them. And then she would take them, and as she'd walk through the house, she'd take those shirts on their hangers and hang them up. And she'd be praying, "Oh God, would you touch the man of God tonight? Oh God, would you fill him with the power of God when he preaches?" That old man, I can remember going up to his house. And me and my dad, we'd pull in the driveway. We'd get out of our cars, and we could hear something. He's in there all by himself. And if you walked into his house, I mean, it was so out of level. If you stuck a marble on one side of the room, it'd probably get to the other one in a couple of other side of the room in a couple of seconds. I mean, it was so out of level. He basically lived in a shack. I'm sure nobody lives there. He's probably condemned by now. But he died just probably about 5 years ago, 6 years ago. I can remember pulling up to his house, and I could hear something. Me and my dad would get closer to the door, and I could hear a man in there. He'd be, "Hallelujah! Glory to God!" Nobody was around. He didn't even know we were out there. We'd pull up. We better just go get back in the car. And he'd see us at the door. He'd say, "Oh, y'all come on in here. I'm just having a time in the Lord Jesus Christ." What are you talking about? I'm talking about having the glory of God in your life and in your home. Having the presence of God in your life.
Amen.
Having the presence of God. Now, let me say, I remember people, they have a hard time with this shouting stuff. Well, they did it in the Bible. There was a man that was crippled. One day, Peter, and then they said, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have give I unto thee. Arise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." He got up. You know what he did? He said, "Well, this is nice. This is a pleasant experience that I had." I know some people say, well, praising God's in the Old Testament. David talks about that. Well, I sure would hate to think that he had something to praise God about, and we don't. Donnie Harvey started, he came to our church one time, and he started talking some of that stuff about how people criticize him. I looked at him and I said, well, I sure hope that when you get to heaven and you stand before Jesus, Jesus is like, now, Donnie, you were too thrilled about me on this earth. You got too excited. Now, you need to apologize for that. You praised me too much, Donnie. I don't think God will do that. I don't think God will do that at all. I remember my daddy. He got us all together when I was about 18 years old, and he decided to go down there to Faith Baptist Camp. And I can remember everything in the world kept me from going. Everything in the world kept me from going. And I remember somebody let me borrow their car. I was going to come on a ride by myself. My brother ended up coming with me. And I remember stopping in the mountains, and there was this, I went to McDonald's. I was in the mountains of North Carolina, and I remember as I went to McDonald's, it's like everybody that worked in there just stared at me. I thought, man, this is strange. Y'all wonder why I'm backwards. Walked in that McDonald's. But anyways, I left that McDonald's and I ran into a rock slide. Ran into another rock slide after that. And at the second rock slide, I decided I'm just going to drive through it and see what happens. Got stopped by a state trooper. He's like, what are you doing? I said, sir, this is my second rock slide. I'm desperate. I'm desperate. He's like, all right, follow me. And so I followed. He gave me directions to go north, back up into Tennessee. I went the other way. Well, I ended up finding a bum on the street. He was trying to break into a car. He was drunk. I could smell the liquor on his breath. I just rolled the window down. I said, sir, how do I get to Georgia? He said, you just go right down this road right here and you'll get there. I said, thank you. And as soon as I left, the police officer pulled in. But I got down there to Faith Baptist Camp. And there was an Indian fella who was a heroin addict. And he began to testify and sing about what Jesus did for him. I don't remember the names, but I remember my dad getting up. About everybody in there looked at him like he was an Arab in Israel at night. Like he didn't belong. He started praising God, testifying and shouting. He was the only one. And I remember God getting a hold of my heart. Why don't you serve God, son? Why don't you serve God? So I determined that day that I was going to serve God. That I was going to live for God. Tears running down my face. I can remember I started trying to live as clean as I possibly could, live whole. You know, that's one thing about most people that are in churches today. For whatever reason, they have the idea that Jesus is just something that you kind of add to your life and you can just keep everything that you've got. I remember being raised that you don't have Jesus and sin at the same time. God's holy. God's holy. I began to get everything out of my life that I could think of. I remember I would read the book of Psalms. I'd read as much as I possibly could. If there was a moment to sit down, I was reading the Bible. I prayed as much as I could. I remember I'd get home from school and I'd be grieved by the things that I heard going to school, and I'd get home and I would pray and I would pray and I'd pray. You know what? At one point I had seemed like a lot of friends. I lost all of them. I lost every friend I had. I remember people in my family. I talked about it yesterday. I remember people in my family lying, trying to destroy my name, trying to destroy my credibility. Why? Because I wanted to serve God. Wanted to serve God. But I can remember I'd be riding down the road. Sometimes I'd be on my way to school, and I'd take the long way to school just so that I could take the back roads, and I'd get going down those back roads and I'd pray, and I remember the glory of God would fill my car. And I'm telling you, I didn't have anybody at that time, but it sure was good to have the Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of God. And I'd be in my car, and tears would begin to run down my face, and I'd just begin to say, glory to God, hallelujah. And I'd begin to sing how good it was to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd be in that car. I'd probably look like a nut. That's why I take the back roads. I'd begin to shout. I'd begin to shout and praise God.
What are you talking about? I'm talking about having the glory of God. The Bible said, I read it, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good.
I tell you, there's some things that we need to get back in our churches, back in our lives. We need the glory of God in our home to raise our children. We need the glory of God in our churches for the salvation of the lost. Ladies and gentlemen, we need the glory of God in our communities. What are we raising our children in? Those people, they had something to look to. They had moms and dads that knew God. They had preachers that knew God. I'm done.
Page 278, open my eyes so that I may see. 278.
Never.